verse 17, he says in verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. He says, riches and honor are with me. This is there at the post now. And God has given us a moment tonight to really understand that wealth, financial prosperity is at the post. And he's been dealing with salvation. Oh my gosh, has he been dealing with salvation? But he's also, it's an even as thing here. If he's dealing with salvation and you're moving in it, he wants you to know, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness and in the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance.
Amen, God.
And I will fill their treasures. He said, I'm going to read verse 21 again because it's really powerful. And it goes right into where she's going. It says that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. You're not to cause yourself, excuse me, to inherit substance. You're not to. That's not when you're a child. I'm going to use a word that I've never used, but use a phrase that I'm, when you're a child of the post, you're not to cause yourself to prosper.
Amen.
He says that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures.
So good. Now,
without further ado, I'm going to just tag in Elder Allison and take your time. And please, people of God, please, those of you that are on the line tonight, you got a special treat. You're in store for a very special treat. And man, get ready. So you're about to be blessed. I hand it over to you, Elder Allison, and take your time with it now.
Amen. Amen. Get my slides up here for you. Okay. As Apostle stated, this excerpt actually derives from session 7. And one thing that I really just want to express before I get into the excerpt is, don't sleep on this balance. Do not sleep on this balance.
I know
this balance has so much substance, so much essence. And the reason why I'm on session 7 is because I've been taking session by session, just imbibing it, just taking it to the head, just extracting everything from it. It is just, there's just so much in it. And it truly is calibrating. It truly is authenticating. And so just don't sleep on it. Take every session and every moment that you have and really just take it to the head.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
All right. So this excerpt, like I said, is from session 7 of the Faith Balance. And the particular title from session 7 was Sowing from the Hearing Within the Hearing. And I was reading, I was just on page 1 of session 7. And I read this particular statement on the first page. And it says, and it's on the screen, it says, the Lord is going to show us that sowing seed should be with the intent of salvation. Now, when I read that statement, I had to read it over and over and over because I really wanted to grasp what was being said here. And Apostle just said it, that he is going to cause those that love him to inherit substance. And I really believe that this excerpt is him causing us. This is the way he's showing us that we are going to inherit. It's not something that we're doing or we derive, but he's actually showing and giving it to us. So it's a blessing.
Amen. Amen. It is.
So as I said, I read this over and over and over, and I really wanted to imbibe it. And the verses that preceded this statement in the session were Psalms 51, 16, and 17. And this is David in Psalms, and he says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it." This is David saying. He's like, "For thou desirest not sacrifice. If you did desire it, I would give it to you. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit." In spirit, we learn meant mind. So the sacrifices of God are a broken mind, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. Now I looked at the definitions of both desirest and delightest, and they both mean to take pleasure in. So if we plug in the definition, David is saying here, you take no pleasure in sacrifice, else would I give it. You take no pleasure in burnt offering. And I really just took a moment here to imbibe what he was saying. And I was thinking about God, and I'm like, you really derive no pleasure in sacrifice. Just think about that.
So good.
He gets no pleasure in sacrifice.
That is so good.
When I looked at the Passion Translation, and it says like this, says it like this: "For the source of your pleasure is not in my performance or the sacrifices I might offer to you. The fountain of your pleasure is found in the sacrifice of my shattered heart before you. You will not despise my tenderness as I bow down humbly at your feet."
Bless God.
Hallelujah.
This is what David's saying here. God takes pleasure when we are broken, when our mind is affected agreeably at his post. Every time we're at his post and our mind is affected agreeably, when our mind is broken and shifted into his postures, when we bring to the birth, that's what broken means, when we bring to the birth a new mindset by way of his postures, this is what he delights in. This is his pleasure. And what he takes pleasure in, this is his desire. And as I was imbibing that, I thought about the setup in the tabernacle. Here's a picture up on the screen for you. Thought about the setup of the tabernacle in the wilderness. And I remember that sacrifices were always in the picture. When the high priest would go into the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, he went in on behalf of himself and the people. And the reason why the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies would be so his mind first would be affected agreeably. And then the high priest would then come out and sprinkle the blood on the people, symbolizing their mind being affected agreeably.
Right.
So we see that sacrifices were always in the picture, but the fountain of God's pleasure was that their minds would be affected.
Yes, yes.
So this brings us back to our opening statement. Sowing seed should be with the intent of salvation. Our minds must first and foremost be affected agreeably, and then we can sow.
So
I'm going to say that again. Our minds must first and foremost be affected agreeably, and then we can sow.
Right.
Now think about this. Think about what God our Father really sees when we are broken. when we bring to birth a new mindset by way of his postures, think about when he sees our shift in temperament.
Oh, God.
When he sees our shift in character. When our mind is agreeing to what the Spirit is discerning about us at the post. When God, our Father, is seeing this, he sees the blood sacrifice of his Son upon our minds.
So good. So good.
Amen.
There is no greater sacrifice than that of his Son. This is what brings him pleasure. This is his desire and his delight. And from this place, we are in optimal position to sow. Why? Because we literally have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Hence, the vineyards of Christ. Our ground is fertile because our mind has been shifted, and our ground is perfect for sowing. And this is why we learned a while back, at the height of our hearing, sow.
Yeah.
Because you're not in the picture.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Another verse from session 7 was Malachi chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. And here we get another picture of what takes place. Verse 3 says, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver." And watch this. It says that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness.
Hallelujah.
What we see take place here, that there is again a purifying and purging that takes place first, so that we may offer. And in our terminology, it's our watching daily at his gates.
Yes.
And waiting at the post of his doors. Please. So that our minds are purified.
Hallelujah.
That our minds are purged.
For
the purpose of salvation. And this positions us so that we may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness.
Ooh, hallelujah.
The next verse, verse 4, takes it even a step further and show two aspects of pleasure, and I call it double pleasure. It says, "Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years."
Hallelujah. Says,
then when our minds are purified and purged, when our mind is affected agreeably, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. When I read this again this morning, the last part stuck out to me. It says, as in the days of old and as in former years. Hallelujah. It really stuck out to me. And I began to really feel the heart of the Father here. Because that line is saying that offerings were once pleasurable unto him.
That's right. That's right.
It says, as in the days of old and as in former years. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to your master. Glory to you, Master.
And I thought about it.
Glory
and I realized that this was the case. Why? Because there was a time where people really wanted Jehovah to be their salvation.
Yes.
But faith shifted. The reliance upon God for salvation shifted, and the body of Christ drifted to only wanting success and no longer salvation. So the pleasure in offerings dissipated because salvation was no longer connected to it.
Jesus.
Truth had fallen in the streets.
Come on now. Come on, Elder Allison.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Hallelujah,
what pleasure is it? Now really think about this. What pleasure is it if God no longer sees the sacrifice of his son on mankind? What is our mere sacrifice in sowing when the greatest sacrifice is laying in the street?
Come on now.
Jesus.
Come on.
But when our mind is affected agreeably, there is double pleasure.
Amen.
Then shall the offering of Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And here's your proof. Be pleasant here means to take pleasure in.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as it says.
To be agreeable. It's
pleasure. To be agreeable. Now God takes pleasure in both. Salvation came to my mind. Check. Then my offering is pleasant. Check. You see here that salvation and sowing go hand in hand.
God, hallelujah.
And here's one more example for you. And this again proves that our mind first needs to be affected agreeably. Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Here's the proof that the statement has to do with the mind. Jesus says, first be reconciled to thy brother. Here you go. Reconcile means mentally. There's your mind. Mentally to conciliate. It means to stop someone from being angry or discontented. It means to placate. So we see mentally here. When Jesus was in this setting, someone's mind wasn't right. He discerned that someone had a discrepancy here. If your brother has aught against you, then there is obviously a discrepancy between the two of you. Jesus was telling them here, look, if your mind ain't right, then you're in no place to offer.
God.
Leave your gift, get your mind right between the two of you, get a shift in your posture, then come, because then you are in the right temperament to offer.
Jesus.
We see here in all these examples, it's about the mind being affected agreeably first. And then we can sow. So in closing, the statement sowing seed should be with the intent of salvation simply means that our first intention is to be sure that our mind is affected agreeably. Then we can sow. And that is my excerpt for you for the evening.
Glory be to God.
So
good. So good. That is just, I mean, really, really powerful. really, really powerful. And it really blessed me. It really, 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 really blessed me because it really confirms exactly that message in session seven. Mm-hmm. And when you were sharing it with me, Elder, in the time that we had to fellowship, and as you began to share it with me, it really opened my eyes even deeper. It really did. To hear someone in perfect harmony and agreement to that is really a blessing for me. It really mm-hmm. is. And because that there is changing. I'm going to just testify if I can for just a moment. And then I'm going to just add a little bit to what you just shared. That really, really, it really testifies of what the change I'm going through.
Amen.
It speaks of a change that I've been waiting for a very long time in my life. There were times that I marked it, that I believed that it was coming and that it was here, and then it would dissipate. It would leave. It would leave. I would think that the change was here. I'm battled in my family. We are battled in the area of finance. We are battled. There's a battle because there's been so much wealth in my family, and there's been so much of it. And God wants to really reveal the righteousness, not saying that my family's full of crooks or anything like that. That's not what I mean. But wealth has always been over our family in tremendous ways. Tremendous ways. Mm-hmm. Wealth has been my grandmother through her hard work. I mean, just forged her way and built houses, not house, but houses. Mm-hmm. Bought land and all that. Keep that recording going. It's okay, Elder. You stopped it?
No, sir.
Okay, keep it going. And so she, I mean, just accumulated things. But the enemy decided to try to make things hard on my mom and her sons. And the Lord is breaking a mold because my mom, out of all of her siblings, my mother got saved. So then her sons were born into a saved household. My other siblings weren't at the time. They weren't saved, but they were succeeding. They were doing well. They didn't have the hardship my mom had, just put it that way. And they did well. They did what they wanted to do when they wanted to do it and all that good stuff. And my mom struggled to raise us, and my mom went through it. She really did. And even in the inheritances that she was supposed to have were stolen. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars, literally stolen. Not metaphorically speaking or in the spirit, no, physically stolen. Houses lost because of people doing just wrong things. And the enemy always has attacked her. And so that attack has also fallen on us. Well, my brother Steve broke that mold and he broke it one way through hard work. He got out that way. But then it wasn't a cure-all for him. But now I'm in the momentum of the cure-all. I'm feeling this at the post. I'm seeing the changes. I'm seeing that where the enemy has been really trying to fight against my mother and her sons. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing it that God wanted us. I can't speak for nobody else, but he wanted my mother and her sons to offer offerings in righteousness. Mm-hmm. He wanted to bring us into a place of salvation and then see true success. I am finally seeing this, and I'm telling you all right now, it is the absolute positive truth. I'm seeing it on every hand, Mom, you don't even know this. Went to trade in the truck and just had favor trading in the truck and ended up in another Mercedes, an E300 Mercedes. The value of the car, my value went up. My payments went down $200. My value of the vehicle went up. And my APR dropped 5%. I mean, I'm seeing God move in favor. Finances mm-hmm. are coming from different places. And I'm here to testify of this truth, because every time I release a seed, I release a seed after I discern that I am in the temperament of Christ. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I will not give outside of his temperament ever again. And the Father is breathing on every seed.
Yes, he is.
And now I won't even pray over my vineyards outside of being in the temperament of Christ. I want to show you something. The importance of it, be having that place of atonement in your mind. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, we see where the Lord made coats of skins for Adam and Eve after they failed and fell. The first offering, and I heard God say this, Elder Allison, while you were speaking. I heard him say this, and he made it real simple. And I hope this chalks it up for somebody tonight. He said this. He said, just like I gave the first offering, I gave them an offering of atonement. Watch this. He said, if you don't receive my offering, I will not receive your offering. He said, if you don't receive my offering, I'm not going to receive yours.
Thumbs up right there.
Because if you're not atoned by the offering of the blood of Jesus, if your mind is not affected in agreement with the blood of Jesus, with how our master is thinking and how his emotions are, if you're not under the temperament, you didn't receive his offering. So he said, I'm not going to receive yours either.
Wow.
You read it when you first read the first scripture. He said, no, offerings and what? Sacrifices? Mm-hmm. They don't mean anything to me.
Nope.
I take no pleasure in them. Without a broken spirit and a contrite heart, if you don't receive mine, I'm not going to receive yours.
Mm-hmm.
If you read back in the Old Testament, those first offerings were always offerings of atonement. God was always trying to position us to be able to sow so that the wealth, the system of God's wealth in heaven could finally come to earth.
Amen.
His system is totally different. His system is give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will I then cause men to give into your bosom? But if that's going to work for you, if you're going to see this change, if you want to see the commonwealth of heaven, if you want to see heaven's financial system really ruling your life, receive his offering and then give him an offering and watch what he does. Watch what he does.
That's good.
Awesome message, Elder Allison. I really appreciate you going back over that. And I hope everybody that's on the line tonight, your mind was affected agreeably in what you heard. I really pray that you please, if you have hasty feet and you just go through the ritual motions of Christianity, I pray for your feet even right now.
Yes.
That your feet will slow down at the post. Yes. Your feet will your feet will be anchored there, and that you won't be so religious minded, moving in religiosity in terms of how to give and just giving sporadically. But don't let your giving be in vain. I pray tonight that before you ever sow a seed, give a tithe, or anything else that you give, I pray that you will receive the offering in which the Father has given unto you.
Yes.
I pray the mindset and the slowness of the mind, of your mind, coming into a place of being slow enough to make sure you check those two areas. Salvation, she said, check. Success now, check. But I pray that you check the box of salvation first.
Yes.
You recognize the salvation of Jesus Christ all over your mindset. And then release your seed. Release your seed after that. And the blessing of the Lord will make you rich and add no sorrow. It is a season. It is a time. It is a time. It's an invitation for wealth. And I'm not saying that because I got a new car. That's not why I'm saying it. I'm saying it because my mind has shifted.
Amen.
My mind, my stewardship has shifted even again. Man, I'm telling you, if I could say it like this, Elder Donna, Elder Mom, your boy's growing up big time.
Amen, God.
I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm not ashamed to say it. Because I'm discovering all these areas where there was potential, but never tapped into greatness. But at the post, I'm tapping into greatness. I'm moving from the potential. The ability, it's not just an ability. It's something that is manifested, and it's manifesting.
Amen.
I'm here to tell the deepest, the people in the deepest of the deep, trouble. I'm here to tell you that if God can do it inside of me,
yes,
by meeting with him at the post and opening up to him, and man, he's changing the way I do things. He's changing everything about my financial way of living.
Bless God.
My hand isn't closed. My hand is still wide open. But there's a change.
Hallelujah.
Change. God, there's a change. Come on, lift your hands to him right now. If you're on the line, lift your hands to him. Come on, lift him up. I feel the Lord, breaking, destroying curses that were set for you. Traps that were set for you and over your life. I feel him right now. Touch the back of your mind where things were in that childhood place where the theta just was affected in a negative way. I feel the power of the Father reaching to that area.
Yes.
That area that just has secured this same monotony. It secured it. It protected the same monotony, the same pattern, and the same results kept coming. I feel the Holy Spirit reaching back to that, laying hands and healing that way of thinking. Hallelujah. I feel him moving right now. I feel him destroying it right now. I feel him, I'm telling you, taking this burden from up off of you.
Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God.
He said you had a treat coming on the line tonight, and he meant it. He's reaching in, and he's shifting your thinking, not just for the moment.
Hallelujah.
But my Bible says that the anointing destroys the yoke.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you.
Patience. Not just for a moment.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God had a position, your mindset, and affected being by bringing you into agreement. And then he can put it in your hands. Now he can bless you. Now, why? Because your mind is being affected in agreement.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank and there's an anointing that's slowing hasty feet down.
Thank you, God.
It's an anointing. Money won't burn a hole in your pocket ever again.
Hallelujah.
There's an anointing there.
Yeah,
and I hear the Lord say, there's also an anointing on the line that is going to attract wealth. Finances are going to be, you're going to attract it now.
Hallelujah.
As staying at the post, you're going to attract it now. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the magnet is this. Here's your magnet. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Yes.
So now because you're in his mindset, all of the earth is now attracted to, it already belongs to him. So now you're the magnet that it's pulling all the resources you need, all the resources you desire. It's coming to you. It's like a magnet. Why? Because you have the same mind that he has, the same temperament. So now the earth is attracted to its owner.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So money's gonna come to you.
Yes, God.
He said they come with me. What comes with you? Durable riches are with me.
Because of righteousness.
If you've got my mindset, then durable riches. God. And righteousness.
Thank you, Lord God.
I don't know if you're receiving it, but if you're not, that's on you, because the Lord sure is sharing where he's going and what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And this is I'm telling someone needs to know, this is permanent.
It is. Yes, sir.
Spirit of God woke me up the other day. He said, I told you this year was the year of Pentecost in your life. the year of Pentecost, the year of harvest, the year of the anointing. And he reminded me that the other day, and I'm about to turn 51, but he said, I didn't tell you it was the year. I told you that your 50s are the decade of Pentecost. That I receive it, Lord. I said, thank you. And when he reminded me of that, it made me understand why things are shifting in such a mighty way.
Thank you.
Amen, God. Amen, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, we bless you.
You're shifting in a mighty way.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Now, everybody knows that I own my own business. My business is so slow right now, it's not even funny. But my pockets aren't slow. Increase isn't slow.
Praise God.
I tell him every day, I said, you're my portion. I don't care what has already come to me, and I don't care what might be coming to me. You are still my portion.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
And I told him, I said, listen, here, I don't care about an influx that's going to drop. I don't care about happening. I don't care what happened. I said, listen here. I said, I'm never going to lose the mindset of where my resources are coming from. I'm not going to get caught up in what's coming and what has come. Mm-hmm. I still see you. I drive that car and I'm still numb. I'm still hanging out with Jesus. I don't care. I don't care about that. That's not what makes me smile. Mm-hmm. What makes me smile is the one, the author and the finisher of all my faith. The one that he's attracting this here. Favor.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you.
Excellent excerpt, Ella Allison. I didn't mean to go on and on, but go ahead. You can press stop now. Excellent excerpt. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.